But I do want you to turn with me tonight to the Word of God, and we're turning tonight thinking of a precious promise for weary workers. Now, you know, many years ago, this famous preacher by the name of Dr. F. B. Meyer, great preacher of the Word of God, and he was also the author of many wonderful books about the Word of God itself. He also wrote the story of his life, his own autobiography, after many years in the ministry serving the Lord. Now, when you read that autobiography, it's one of the best life stories that you could ever read. But as he comes towards the end of the book, he said that as a minister, as a pastor of the church, for many years, that he had one great regret. And the great regret that this honored servant had as he looked back over many faithful years in the service of God was this, that he regretted that he didn't give more time to the ministry of encouragement. He regretted that he didn't give more time to the ministry of encouragement. Now, it's true to say that no matter who you are or what position you occupy in the Lord's service, that we all need encouragement in the work of God. Indeed, when you read the life story of David, the man after God's own heart, you will find that there were days when David was under a cloud, and David, the man of God, desperately needed encouragement. When you see it, Spurgeon, who said that David's heart very often was more out of tune even than his harp. And very often, Jonathan, David's best friend, had to come alongside and to strengthen David's hand in God and speak a needy word of encouragement into the heart and into the ear of the man of God. And so it is tonight, I want to, keeping that in mind, speaking a word of encouragement tonight, a promise for weary workers in the work of God. Now you will find that promise there at the beginning of our scripture reading. Wonderful words, beautiful words, penned by Solomon many hundreds of years even before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, even though these words were penned by King Solomon, yet I believe that a greater than Solomon is here. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord would come tonight, and the Lord would say to each one of us, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And as you look at that tremendous text, and we often quote it, it's one of the exceeding great and precious promises in the Word of God to cheer us on, to encourage us, and to spur us on to do greater things, even in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you look at these words, I want you to consider three very simple things, but yet I believe three very important things that are found in this text of the Word of God. And I want you to notice, first of all, that there is a great task to be done. That there is a great task to be done. And Solomon says, cast thy bread upon the waters. And as I think of this command, cast thy bread upon the waters, surely it speaks of a great task to be done. Now, what does Solomon have in mind here when he says, cast thy bread upon the waters? Well, I believe that Solomon is referring here to something that happened not in the land of Israel, but beyond Israel's borders, even to the land of Egypt itself. And if you're familiar with the geography of the land of Egypt, you will recall even from your school days that the land of Egypt is almost divided in two by the mighty waters of the River Nile. Like a snake going through the land, the Nile almost divides a great part of the land of Egypt. Now, what happened is this, that when the time for sowing came, you will find that very often the waters of the Nile would overflow their banks, and they would submerge all the fields surrounding the River Nile, adjacent alongside the River Nile, were submerged totally in water. And what the Egyptian farmer had to do, very often he would get out his little sailing craft and he would load it up with seed corn, take one of his sons or one of his servants along with him, and then they would row across those fields submerged in water, and they would cast their bread, their seed corn, upon the waters. And that's the picture there that is given to us in the Word of God. The Egyptian farmer in his little boat sowing his seed corn, he's casting his bread upon the waters. And it reminds us here, does it not, that if you and I are going to reap a harvest, we've got to learn to be a sower, even like the Egyptian farmer. You remember that the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And as he opened up the parable, he reminded his disciples and his listeners that the sower is the one who goes forth with the Word of God, and that the seed is the precious Word of God. And oh, beloved, we need to realize tonight in God's Word that there's a great task to be done. The Lord of the harvest would say to each one of us tonight, "Cast thy bread upon the waters." You know, there was a great preacher, and one night after he had preached, he had given a challenge about soul winning and winning others for the Lord. And after the service, a lady came to speak to him, and she said to him, "Pastor," she said, "I agree with everything that you say, but I'm only a housewife, and what can I do? Who can I reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ?" Now, the old preacher was very wise, and he said to her, "Well," he said, "you know," he said, "think of all the people that come to your home. Have you ever witnessed, have you ever spoken to them about their need of salvation?" And she said, "Well, I never thought of that." He said, "Well, you have a mission field right on your doorstep." And so the lady resolved that everyone that came to her home that week, she was going to witness to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first man that came to her home, among others, was the milkman. And the milkman has an early start in the morning. And she resolved, "I'll get up early in the morning and I'll speak to the milkman about his need of the Lord Jesus Christ." And so that morning the milkman came, the cart stopped at the door, and he got his pints of milk and he was coming up. And he had the few pints of milk to set down. And just as he was about to set down the 2 pints of milk, the door opened. And the wee woman, very nervously, she opened the door and she shouted at him, "You need to be saved! You need to be saved!" Well, you talk about getting him saved. She nearly scared the devil out of him at that hour of the morning. And he gave a bit of a jump and a fright. And then he looked at her and he said, "You know," he said, "it's funny you should say that. I've been thinking about this business of getting saved, but I don't know how to be saved." And there at her doorstep, she had a soul winner's joy. She came rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, winning her first convert for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, we need to awaken to the fact that there's a great task to be done, that the fields are wide on the harvest, the laborers are few, and the Lord's calling us to cast our bread upon the waters. Never forget, some years ago I was driving along in the car, and I sometimes like to put on the news. My wife, Andrew, says, "I'll die if I don't hear the news." That's the one thing I love to listen to, is always the news. What's happening out there? And I was driving along and the news was coming on. And you know, the news was this, I'll never forget it. It says the king is dead, and I wondered what king. And as I listened to the news flash, it said the king, Elvis Presley, is dead. Elvis Presley. And I'll never forget as I listened on the next day and all the news was coming in about this famous singer. And it said this, that in the space of 24 hours, the whole world, every nation of the world, was talking about the death of the king, Elvis Presley, the singer. You know, as I thought of that, my heart sunk. Because if I thought of another king, one who died outside the city walls, one who came to be the savior of the world, and yet there's still untold millions have never heard the first time that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And friend, why should anyone hear it twice when there's those who have never heard it once? And maybe the Lord is saying to us, this is a shake-up for slackers tonight. We need to waken up. We need to realize that men and women are perishing without Christ and where there is no vision, the people perish. And we need to get a burden for souls and to have the compassion of the Master. Remember an old preacher saying on one occasion, he said, compassion is a heart that has been dipped in the love of God. Remember it was said of Jesus when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Oh, there's a great task to be done. Cast thy bread upon the waters. But then you'll notice also here that there's a great triumph to be discovered. A great triumph to be discovered. Because there's a wonderful promise here along with this command. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. In the first verse, cast thy bread upon the waters. And here's not only the command but the promise. For thou shalt find it after many days. Thou shalt find it after many days. Oh, the one who commands us is the one who also gives us the comfort and the assurance that we are faithful. He will make us fruitful, and His word shall not return unto Him void. Now I want you to notice what it says here. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it right away. It doesn't say that. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. I remember the Egyptian farmer. There was a time of sowing. They cast the seed corn upon the waters. Then there came the time when the rainy season was over and the waters began to assuage and disappear into the bowels of Mother Earth. And that seed that had been sown had sunk down into the soft clay of Mother Earth, the soft soil, and under the heat of the Egyptian sun began to germinate and burst forth into life. And eventually there was the harvest waiting and ready to be gathered in. But there had to be the time of sowing. And then there had to be the time of waiting before there was the time of reaping. And you know, one of the great things that we so often lack in God's work is patience. We live in a day of instant things. Do you ever notice that? All the instant things that the ladies have. Instant potatoes. Oh, they're rotten. You can't beat the old spud. Sure you can't. Instant potatoes. And with instant that and instant the other thing. And sometimes we apply this to God's work. And if we don't have instant results and we see things happening right away, we get discouraged and we give up.
You know, I'm reminded of General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, a mighty man of God. He was an Arminian. But I want to tell you this, I wouldn't be fit for any preacher in the free church to clean his boots. He was a mighty man of God and a man who was used mightily to win souls for Jesus. Old General Booth had one big fault, and it was this. He was a very impatient man. And when he wanted something done, it had to be done right away. Just like my wife, if she wants something done, if she wants the grass cut, oh, it has to be done right away. And if I don't do it right away, she's out with a lawnmower, making you feel guilty. Do you ever get that treatment, Andrew? Oh, you know all about it. And you know, old William Booth was like that, very, very impatient. He'd asked for something to be done, and it hadn't been done, and he summons the young officer to come and to talk to him and to give an account of why it wasn't done. And with his tongue in his cheek, the young officer looked at the old general, and he said, "You know, General, Rome wasn't built in a day." And the old general looked at him, and he said, "That's because I wasn't in charge, son." Somebody said if Mr. Paisley had been there, it would never have been built at all, but that's another story. And sometimes we're like the old general. We're impatient, and we just give up if we don't see instant results. I want to tell you, friend, if you're a Sunday school teacher, young people's worker, children's worker, even the minister of the church, God's Word says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days." And sometimes God tries and tests our patience. But in the end, God's Word will not return unto him void. You know, I was brought up in a large family of 7 boys and 1 girl when he was the eldest. 7 boys, and facing our home, just down the street a wee bit, was the Emmanuel Mission in Roslyn Street. And my mother used to get us ready and chase us out to Sunday school. I think she just wanted her head shored, and that was a good way of getting peace. We were all sent to the Emmanuel Sunday School, and we went along there. And also to the children's meeting on Tuesday night, and we were taught the Word of God. And I want to tell you this. I had an old Sunday school teacher, Mr. Wallace, and he used to give us 2 shillings, and that was a fortune in those days. If we had learned portions of Scripture like John 14, and I can remember learning the Word of God, winning the prize of 2 shillings or 1 shilling on occasions. And I want to tell you this, years later, when I was out in the world, at God's Word in my heart, and God's Word would speak to me. There was another old saint of God, John Phillips. John Phillips was a great children's worker. He took the children's meeting. And I loved to go along, and I'm not as old as I look, but in those days nobody really had television in our street. Television was just a new thing. And the nearest thing we ever saw to television was the flannel graph and the children's meeting. And I loved to watch John Proctor with the children's meeting and the flannel graph and doing the Bible stories. And John Phillips always spoke with a wee whistle in his voice. And he would say, "Now, boys and girls, sit up in your seats." And I would sit there riveted in the seat. I must tell you this, maybe I shouldn't. You know, as a wee boy, I was always one of those youngsters. Whatever I found in the street, should it be a screw or anything or a nut or something, I would pick it up and put it in my pocket or a piece of cord. My mother had great fun clearing out my pockets. The wife does that now, but that's a different story. And I can remember being out one day and picking up a washer. You know what a washer is? It's just about the size of a penny, a hole in the middle, and it was used for whatever it was used for. I had this washer in my pocket. I went along to the children's meeting, and Mr. Phillips, he said, "Now, boys and girls, time to lift the offering. Sit up now." And they passed the offering plates round, and I thought of the old washer, you know. I'll have a wee bit of fun here. I must have been only about 8 or 9 years of age, and I took the washer and slipped it into the basket. And going to get a great shock when they get that. So the next week, children's meeting, time for the offering. John Phillips says, "Now, boys and girls, just before we start, I want to say this is God's offering." And he brought out the washer and he said, "Somebody put that in the basket last week." Well, I thought I was Kentucky Fried Chicken. I did. I was waiting on the lightning coming in every which way. Says, "Hey, this is the end of the road for me." But what I want to tell you is this. That young boy went out of the children's meetings into the world with the Word of God in his heart. And many a night in a dance floor in a pub, God spoke to me, and I used to say before I went to sleep at night, "Lord Jesus, don't come tonight. Don't let me die without God or without Christ. Lord, spare me tonight." God's word was in my heart. When I was just 17 years of age, and one night I was heading out to the cinema and knocked the door of a friend and he wasn't in. And his mother, who was a Christian, she said, "Jim has gone on out." And I remember there was a mission taking place in the Emmanuel Mission in Roslyn Street. And an American, Johnny Bassanu, was a preacher, a converted dance band leader and a trumpet player. And I hadn't been there for years, since I was a wee boy. That night I went along to the Emmanuel Mission, sat in the back seat, and I said, "I'm last in and I'll be first out." And you know, as I heard the story of the cross, and I was reminded what I was taught in Sunday school, that I was a sinner, that Jesus died on the cross for me. That night as they sang, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." And I walked the aisle for Jesus. And at the front was Mr. John Phillips, the man with a wee whistle in his voice. And he knelt down and he showed me John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that if Stanley Barnes would believe in him, he would not perish but have everlasting life." He said, "Son, put your name in there. Believe in Christ, accept him as your Savior." And the old Sunday school teacher and children's worker pointed me to Christ. Talk about cast your bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. And I want to encourage you tonight, young person, Sunday school teacher, children's worker, youth worker. Don't you think for a moment that children are not paying attention. Don't you think for a moment that God's word is not going to accomplish its purpose. "They that sow in tears," says the book, "shall reap with joy." And you do the sowing, and God will bless his word, and in due season we shall reap if we faint not, says the Apostle Paul. Be encouraged tonight. Oh, there's a great task to be done. There's a great triumph to be discovered. But notice also here, there's a great truth to be declared. There's a great truth to be declared. You know, as I look at this verse in Ecclesiastes 11:1, to me this is the John 3:16 of the Old Testament that we just referred to. Because as you read the scriptures and the prophetic scriptures and Daniel and Isaiah and others, you'll find that waters symbolize the nations of the earth. In the book of the Revelation, that great scarlet woman, she sat upon many waters, symbolizing the nations of the earth. And almost 2,000 years ago, a God of love and mercy and sovereign grace, he cast his bread upon the waters when he spared not his own son, and he freely delivered him up for us all on the middle cross of Calvary. And you know the wonderful promise that God gives to the Messiah, to his own son. In the book of Isaiah is this: "He shall see the travail of his soul." God cast his bread upon the waters, but every time a soul gets saved, my, we find that God's word is being fulfilled, and he's finding it after many days. You know, when I got saved, it was the year 1959, and that was a tremendous time to get saved. It was the anniversary of the 1859 revival, which had taken place 100 years previous. Meetings were all over the country celebrating that great revival. There was a breath of revival even in the city of Belfast. And it was said of Belfast that there was an open air at every street corner and a mission hall, and the gospel was faithfully preached. Those were tremendous days. You know, over in North Belfast was a little Christian Workers' Union hall. And on a Saturday night, they would invite in the drunks to come for a cup of tea and a sandwich or a biscuit and try and sober them up and preach the gospel to them. We fellows like me and others were brought in, give your testimony or try and preach. And one night there was a young fella, and he hadn't preached, I think, before, and had a wee message prepared, and he got up to preach. And as he started to preach, an old drunk stood to his feet. And he looked at the young fella and he shouted out, "Hey boy, what language is the Bible written in? Do you know that?" And the young fella, his jaw almost hit the floor. He was speechless. He didn't know what to say. And suddenly an old believer stood up and he looked at the drunk and he said, "Hey boy, listen here, listen." He said, "I'll tell you the language of the Bible. The language of the Bible is this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." If you believe, if you receive, you can be saved and you can have everlasting life. My, didn't the old man have it spot on? That's the great message of the gospel. And this is why Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth." You know, one night after a mission, it was a strange thing. I was standing with the Reverend Ivan Foster at the door of the church, the old church building. The mission was over. We just said goodbye to everyone, ready to turn out the lights. And suddenly, across the car park, there was this dark figure, a man in a leather jacket, rough looking, and his lips scarred with booze and with drink. And he smelt like a barrel of whiskey. He was half drunk. And this big fella, rough as he was, came in, and I can still see him kind of staggering. And he came in and he says, "I want to get saved. I want to get saved. I need to get saved." And the Reverend Foster and I took him into the little inquiry room, showed him how he could get saved, stinking with drink. And slurred speech, he said, "Oh God, save me. Lord, save me. I need saved. Lord, save me." I helped him onto his feet, and he got up, and he was going out, and there was a book table. Someone lifted a Bible, and they said, "Take that with you. It'll help you read God's Word." And he went out into the darkness of the night the way he came. Reverend Foster said to me, he said, "Well, you believe in the sovereignty of God if he saved." And we were put a doubt in Thomas's. That fella came back the next night, sober as a judge, and the next night, God worked in his family. God saved his family. That was the late Billy Alexander, who died suddenly and went home to be with the Lord. You see, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." A precious promise for weary workers. It's too soon to quit. Don't give up. Thank God you could be on the verge of a miracle. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.